This is Carrot Stick, the podcast that looks at healthcare through the unblinking lens of data, gathering industry experts, partners, and others for casual chats on serious topics. With your host, Carrot Health founder and CEO, Kurt Waltenbaugh.
Welcome to the Carrot Stick. My guest today is Kyle Rolfing, a legendary serial healthcare entrepreneur. Kyle has built three successful businesses, all founded and headquartered right here in Minnesota: Definity Health, Red Brick Health, and the recent unicorn, Bright Health. Why should you care? Well, Kyle's businesses have raised over $1.7 billion in venture funding. Kyle and I explore his passion, building the health tech entrepreneur ecosystem in Minnesota, the MedTech Silicon Valley of the Prairie. What can we do to encourage and enable more successful entrepreneurs, especially relevant today in healthcare? Come join us for the conversation. Well, Kyle, thanks for joining us here at the Carrot Stick this afternoon. It's good to see you again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate that. And I wonder if maybe you would just share a little bit of your background with our listeners and kind of your history with innovation in Minnesota particularly, and then maybe use that as a springboard to talk about what we're doing in the state.
Sure. So, professional background, I've been in healthcare embarrassingly now over 30 years, so I'm an old man. And the first decade was with larger companies like Aetna for the bulk of that, and then Hewitt Associates, now Aon Hewitt. And then over two decades ago, I took the plunge and co-founded first healthcare startup, and have done a couple others since then. So it's really been two decades of founding and leading healthcare startups, all of which have been here in the Twin Cities market, and continue to be focused on that in this area.
And what's that like innovating in Minnesota particularly? How is that unique or different from elsewhere in the country?
What I like to say, it's cold in Minnesota, but it is a hotbed of healthcare talent. So I think in many respects, it's a competitive advantage to be based here, found companies here, be able to attract talent from organizations like United Health Group, Mayo, Medtronic, depending on kind of what type of innovation, healthcare innovation you're bringing to the market. We have all different aspects, which I think is super important, not only because those organizations are great companies, as you well know, and develop really talented people, but healthcare is super complex, has its own intricacies of language, of how things work. And to have people that you can tap into that are talented and understand all of that is super important to try to then bring innovation to the market.
Yeah. So talented people seem like a really key component that if without the people, there's no way we can be innovative. What else do you need to be successful?
Well, of course, as you well know, and any entrepreneur knows, capital's comes into play. And I think in this market, that's harder than maybe other markets where you tend to see bigger financial institutions having invested locally in their communities, whether it be Boston or Silicon Valley or New York City, or we could go on and on some of the newer innovation hubs that are taking place around the country. And unfortunately, we haven't seen that influx of capital in this market, even given the talent that we have to leverage here.
So that makes it harder to create a business here without that access to capital. What does that mean in the long run of creating a bigger ecosystem of innovation here in Minnesota?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty scary proposition. Back in the 70s, Minnesota was known as kind of the computing capital of the world, actually. Honeywell, Cray, IBM had big location here in Minnesota. And it was kind of the epicenter for all that. And now when you talk about technology and technology innovation, Minnesota doesn't even pop up on the map. And I would argue, if we're not careful, the same thing could happen in healthcare. It's something where when you do have innovation and you do have industries and companies that come about in an environment like Minnesota, where Medtronic was a startup at one point, United Healthcare was a startup, even Mayo was a startup at one point, have become very large, innovative companies. But if we don't continue to look at what is needed for that ecosystem to continue to churn out innovative, successful companies, healthcare could go the way technology went in Minnesota. I hope we never see that day happen.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on that. You know, we've got some real assets here in those other companies and the people talent. In fact, I've heard you describe it, I think, as the Silicon Valley of healthcare here in Minnesota, or at least aspirationally. How do we get there from where we are today? How do we capitalize on those assets?
Yeah, I would say, Kurt, it's definitely aspirationally. I say we should be the Silicon Valley of healthcare. And I think the main ingredient and the hardest one to achieve we have, which is what we talked about, the talent and people that are steeped in healthcare and understand it, talented individuals that brought to bear on innovation in healthcare can do so many great things. But we do need to get the capital in place. And if you think about Silicon Valley, you think about wealth creation that happened in that community was really around startups. And you could name off so many that have happened in that community and created great wealth. Well, that wealth that happens, those people then look to invest in things they know, which are other startups and innovation. And so they have a robust angel investment community that really gets these startups to a level whereby they have momentum, they have the first product iteration, they may have customers, and they're very fundable then by venture capital, which also happens to reside near that community. And so access to both of that. Here, if you think about where wealth has come from, it's really come from those big companies that I mentioned that although were startups at one point, it was decades ago. And people are still getting very wealthy working for these big organizations, but not from doing startup. And so when they look to where are they going to invest, they don't necessarily know that startup environment, community, what it means to be a successful entrepreneur starting something from scratch. So we don't have the flow of investment. Now, we have some really cool companies on the horizon that are starting to see success that I hope will be the start of some wealth flow that happens into the healthcare entrepreneurial community that then gets fed back into feeding more and more innovation through those types of companies in the future. But that's an ingredient that's missing right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, because I think when I look at Carrot and my history, you know, we intentionally went down a path of bootstrapping without outside capital for I think those reasons, that it was easier for us to do that than it was to try and find outside backers. And so when other entrepreneurs ask, well, how do you get started? I always say, well, find a customer, right? Find somebody who can fund that. But I think the same conservatism that you describe in the investing community also exists in the larger corporate entities here, where it's always been easier for me, at least, to sell an idea or an innovative concept outside of Minnesota and then bring it back than it has been to sell it to one of the you know, big Fortune 500 companies here. Is that the same sort of thing? Do you see that elsewhere?
Well, first of all, I would validate what you're saying, Kurt, in talking to other entrepreneurs, particularly healthcare entrepreneurs in this community. That theme has been there. And as a matter of fact, I'm part of Medical Alley organization, which is not only a geography, Medical Alley here, but it is an association of all types of healthcare organizations, large organizations I mentioned before, as well as startups like yourself, as you well know, across the board. And we started looking into this as an issue, starting from the entrepreneurial mindset. Like, why can't we introduce innovation through local health systems, local health plans, the organizations like Medtronic, Mayo, United? It seems like just a petri dish would be there, and there would be an embracing of that type of innovation. So we talked to those organizations and asked them the question, why? And the response was, when they're seeing stuff come to them from the entrepreneurial community, whether it be here or from other markets coming to the Minnesota market, what they're seeing are things that are 100% baked and a lot of passion from the entrepreneur and buy this. And they, their comment coming back was, I wish they would come to me earlier so that instead of meeting 50 or 75% of the need I have, we could have influenced hitting the target, a bullseye of 100% of that need and being that customer. And I think what you said, Kurt, is really wise. Finding that customer and really building the solution with them to be applied in the broader market can be a really good solution for that. And Medical Alley is trying to take that input that we got from both entrepreneurs and these larger companies and come up with solutions that'll make those connections earlier, help from a funding standpoint because you have a customer and revenue, but also have a partner in kind of bringing new solutions to the market.
Yeah, that you're right that early collaboration with an anchor customer for us was invaluable to have somebody to try it out on in the real world and see, you know, is it working, is it not working. But at the same time, we had to have real revenue from that customer to be able to survive. And so if there's a way to kind of combine those two and have it be less baked as an idea and still iterate towards the right outcome, the challenge, I think, is just getting people to take a risk on something that's less well proven. You know, for me, at least, taking something that's half baked to Medtronic, you know, I tend to get this doesn't solve our problem because you're not done yet. Come back when you're ready. You know, and so I'm a big fan of what Medical Alley has done. They've been really invaluable to Carrot over the years in connecting us with, you know, resourcing from a staffing perspective. And just as they've reached out from the larger companies trying to create a home for the entrepreneurs, that's been really helpful. But I wonder if there's almost education that we need to do at these larger entities to understand that taking a risk is not necessarily a bad thing.
Absolutely. And they are starting to listen on it. It's been interesting talking about why there's a need for doing this. If you look, the example I gave on the computing, you know, epicenter of the world computing here and completely gone, that resonates with a lot of the folks here. They remember that time. The other thing that people remember is when there was a ton of M&A activity in the device world, and Medtronic taking a huge leadership on that. And the environment is such today where that's starting to not be nearly as robust, both that M&A, both in the device world, but also in other areas of healthcare. And so these large companies are looking around and they don't see the M&A opportunities for them, which is a big part of how they grow and ingest innovation, knowing they can't always churn that out themselves. And so, Kurt, they are starting to listen. They know they need to make some changes. They need to come to the table. And I think Medical Alley is a great entity to kind of bring both sides to the table. And it is a win-win, particularly as you look downstream and M&A that happens, you know, years and decades from now because we put the right building pieces in place today.
So what's your vision around this ecosystem? How do you create that sort of virtuous cycle where there's more investment and more companies and more M&A and more, it benefits everyone?
Yeah. Well, you know, the very best that you could hope for would be like a Silicon Valley where we have a bunch of really big liquidity events, right, for healthcare entrepreneurs, and they reinvest in the community. That can take a long time. That won't necessarily happen. And if we just sit and hope for that, the timing might not work out and it might not actually come about. So what we spend time doing with Medical Alley, with a number of founders, with some of these large companies, is looking at the dynamics that are in place. We have this talent. How do we really get it to use in terms of innovation? The challenge of the investment, and the approach that's been there for literally decades. I'm sure you've heard this. Got a great idea. Understand the dimension. If I could just get access to capital, then we can move this forward. And what people have been working on in this community and others is, oh, how do we attract more capital to this community and to entrepreneurs? And then we'll solve it. Well, we haven't solved it by hoping that we could. And so we kind of reverse engineered it and said, well, what do folks use capital for? And when you think of entrepreneurs and what they use capital for, it's for people. It's for other people. It's for services. It's for things like legal, finance help, marketing. It's also for connections and first customer and what it takes to land that and build. And so that's typically what angel dollars are used for. And we have a concept that we're bringing to the market and talking to these large companies and asking them to invest in a nonprofit enterprise, okay? It's not for equity from these founders of healthcare organizations like your own, Kurt, but rather think of it as community investment to have a robust innovation ecosystem in healthcare for all sorts of reasons, and short and long term, and to contribute dollars towards that. And they would commit to collaboration with these organizations as early customers and taking risk, as you mentioned. And those dollars would be used to subsidize services in the areas I mentioned, like legal, finance, marketing, et cetera. And what that does is it makes the requirement for capital much less, and maybe zero, at least for a period of time, to get that first customer. And think of the number of additional innovative companies we'd see kind of planted to start growing. Not all of them will be successful, but they'll get to a different level whereby they can more easily then attract the Series A and beyond capital they need. The dynamics that we're facing today, we're seeing a lot of that innovation never get planted. And if it does, it doesn't have the care and feeding to kind of get it to a level where it can raise capital and move things forward. So that's kind of the vision. We're just having conversations with large organizations, and it's resonating and there's excitement around it. We're confident we're going to see movement on this, if not later this year, early next year.
I have to say, I love the fact that it's a not-for-profit idea. That as an entrepreneur, you know, this is sort of the fourth time I've gone through this process. The number of people with their hands out asking for equity or asking for big checks. And I think, you know, we day one with no revenue, we were writing these checks for $50,000 to legal firms to just create the company. Like, there has to be a better way to do this. I don't have I can't keep paying all these people. So yeah. I love the not-for-profit idea around that.
Well, it also connects more to, this is really about investing in the community and creating that Silicon Valley of healthcare. And think of all the benefits that happen in the community and for the companies that are in this community as a result. So that enables them to use foundation money to actually make these types of investments into the community and start and really supercharge that ecosystem.
That's great. You know, it's back to the, we all do better when we all do better sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Is there, along those lines, is there a sort of a a racial or ethnic, sort of diversity goal there? Can we help address some of those disparities?
Yeah, it's part of the charter. There's actually in there to make sure that we are investing in the underrepresented demographics that you talk about. And that's super important in healthcare, not just because it's the right thing to do, no matter what industry we're talking about, but the implications of how do we make sure that we're serving, all aspects of society, and we need all of that representation as we think through those, as we bring innovation to the market. And so Medical Alley has actually made that part of the charter of this group as we move forward.
Oh, that's great. That's a great way to look at it. I'm excited to see what comes next from that. And, sort of who are the next great entrepreneurs that come out of that process?
Yeah, it will be great to see.
Well, appreciate your sharing some of this with us, Kyle. I look forward to learning more about the process as it goes forward. Any last, thoughts that you want to share with our listeners?
I would say, I first of all, appreciate the opportunity to just come and speak with you. And Kurt, thank you for your involvement in leaning in. As you know, Kurt's part of an organization we call the Founders Club, which is now over 30 healthcare early stage startups, all in this market, in Minnesota market, kind of reinforcing. And Kurt, if you remember, we started that almost 5 years ago now, and less than 10 people at the time, and now over 30. But I mentioned that because that started just with the idea of we should get together and figure out how we help one another out. And this is a journey, and it's not easy to found and lead any types of companies, but particularly healthcare companies. And you've seen the benefit from, and you've contributed to the benefit of others in that community, Kurt. And I would just ask your listeners to do the same. We don't need to wait for the next idea, the cool incubator, accelerator, the how do we take Minnesota and turn it into the Silicon Valley of healthcare. We can all contribute by leaning in and helping this community that's bringing healthcare innovation to the market, which not only benefits Minnesota, but the entire world. So thank you for all you do and whatever the listeners can do now and in the future.
Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate that. I have to say Founders Club has been a godsend to me personally. I think back to the early 90s when we, I started my first entrepreneurial venture, and people said, you're going to be a what? Does that mean you're unemployed? Like what's an entrepreneur and why would you do that? And not having others to rely on who've been there before. At times I think Founders Club is kind of like a group therapy session with other CEOs where I can say, oh my gosh, I'm having this problem with my staff or my suppliers or my customers. And these are people who've been there and they can laugh at it and share. And that's been just so much fun to have a community of people like me, like you. And that's fun. So thanks for helping to organize that.
Absolutely. Thanks for being part of it.
All right. Thanks.